we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome to America Out Loud Pulse, the best platform there is for fabulous radio about freedom and America, tremendous columns. You can tune in and listen to doctors and lawyers and ordinary folks who have a lot to say about America and freedom. And this is Dr. Peter Breggin with
Ginger Breggin.
Do you think we can harmonize?
No.
All right. I don't sing. My wife has a gorgeous singing voice. I will know that she's overcome all of her embarrassments when she sings an introduction to the show or lets me tease her without thumping my thigh to try to stop me. I'm so glad it's on the radio because it doesn't look as cool on TV. My wife is brilliant. I want to say a few words about that because when I first met Ginger, I was really overwhelmed by her ability first to understand everything I was saying and then to correct me or to add something to it. And she was quite a bit younger than me and certainly hadn't had as much schooling. And that's what our life has been like. And I have to say that in the last maybe 6 months, since she's been doing this radio show and feeling even more empowered, that it is hard for me to tell my own ideas from yours. And it's been an amazingly, increasingly at our age, partnership that has really brought me into a second lifetime. And so I thought I'd thank you for that.
Thank you, honey.
Our show on America Out Loud Pulse is part of a 5-day-a-week event. I think highlighted by a show with Peter McCullough and with the originator of this whole enormous platform, Malcolm. So you can just tune in at 5 o'clock any day, Eastern time, and get tremendous stuff. Today, I'm actually anticipating with a lot of pleasure talking at length with Leo Holman. I'll just briefly introduce him and then come back to tell you one more thing. Leo was ahead of maybe all of us, certainly ahead of me and Ginger on the issue of globalism. He wrote a book about it called Stealth Invasion, about the global, what we now call predators, and the infiltration of America by them. And when he was writing this, Ginger and I were sitting around wondering if we had any interest in reforming psychiatry anymore, or whether we should do something new. But we did not have any inkling of the nature of globalism. I think that's fair, Ginger, to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really didn't have much of an idea about it at all. Now, I want to just tell folks about one thing we're doing right now, and then I want to go to Leo Holman, who is just a tremendous historian, investigative reporter, writer, and a person ahead of so many of us in all of these matters. And what I want to tell you about is, many of you know, we've been very critical of Matthias Desmond and his new book about totalitarianism, that he is distracting us from identifying the global predators. So it's very relevant here. He has theories like mass psychosis, mass hypnosis, mass formation. They're very contradictory, self-contradictory, vague. But the agenda we have identified behind it is that he wants to distract us from looking at the global predators. It's precisely what we're talking about today, that he just does not want anybody writing about or talking about. It seems to be an outright agenda. And in this, he's been very supported and actually brought to the world by Robert Malone. And we've been critical of both of them for doing this and very concerned about, you know, what their goals are and what they're doing. Well, in this past week, we discovered something so bizarre that it's kind of hard to believe. You can read about it on America Out Loud. It went up yesterday, and that is that Desmet, in sometime before 2014, actually was talking with one of his patients and discovered that he was a mass murderer. The man would turn out to be the worst mass murderer in the history of Belgium, with estimates by the prosecution of between 40 and 50 deaths. He was brought to trial when another psychiatrist reported him after he'd already been in treatment or started in treatment and with Desmet. So we have Desmet seeing this man and then explaining in court when he's actually defending the man, explaining in court that that this man responded really well to talking therapy, and he was secure enough in knowing that he had helped him, that he wasn't going to kill people anymore. It's quite insane. I'm an expert in mass murderers. I testify about them in court, usually around psych drugs. I can tell you that this is unheard of decision for a therapist to decide that he's going to protect his patient and cure him. This man had been killing people, starting with an uncle since he was age 22. By the time he's caught, he's about 60 years old. And sometime along the way, and I've asked in our article, Desmet, please tell us, when did you see him? And after he was released, did he kill more people, or did you just release him? Did you see him only after he'd killed people? It's unclear. We don't have the data, but we've asked the question. The article is quite detailed, and we have more information now about it as well. So, go to America Out Loud, and you'll find our article. And do you remember the title, Ginger? It's
no, but it's our column, and it just came out yesterday.
Yeah, something about Matthias Desmet does not report a mass murder in his own practice and lets him go free. Okay.
Our guest.
Oh my God. Thank goodness we're looking at him on video, which you can't. So I know he's still there, and I apologize for a rather excessive beginning. Leo Holman, thank you for being back. We've had you on our TV show. You can begin anywhere you want, but it's going to be wonderful to have you fill in the next 10 minutes. And then in subsequent segments, your knowledge about what's happening with global predators.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Bregan and Ginger, for having me back. Pleasure to be here back on the show with your wonderful audience, giving an update on the globalists, which you so rightly have labeled as predators. I have recently been reporting on some of the comments made by one of the most notorious global predators, in my opinion, Mr. Yuval Noah Harari, who he is a professor of history at a university in Jerusalem, Israel. He is somewhat of a celebrity in Israel, but what makes him so important, and the reason we should listen to what he says, is because he's not just any harebrained professor. He is the chief philosophical advisor to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, which, as you know, is where a lot of the distasteful globalist rules, regulations, climate agenda, overbearing control measures has all come down from. It's the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. If we had to pin it down to two of the most out there institutions in deceptively peddling this climate agenda as something that's needed to just save the planet, you know, and that it's really an altruistic, benevolent ideology, it would probably be those two institutions, even though there are many, many, many hundreds of others who are right in there with them, including, you know, 90% of corporate America. And so when Yuval Noah Harari speaks, we should listen. And he recently spoke in an interview with Chris Anderson, who is the head of the media organization TED Talks. And he said basically in this interview that we just don't need the vast majority of the population, of the human population. That is a direct quote. And he said that technology will, quote, make it possible to replace the people. Now, this isn't new information to us, but it certainly is important because it confirms what we've been saying all along for years, Peter, how this technocratic globalist elite has come to a point in history where they don't need the working masses nearly as much as they used to with, you know, the artificial intelligence, the robotics, the machine learning, all of these technological advances. And now they're trying to create superhumans through gene editing and whatnot. They are making their move, I believe, into what I called in an earlier article a couple months ago, the, quote, kill phase of the Great Reset. The last time we spoke, had I written that article yet? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling if we spoke.
Oh, maybe, no, you hadn't written that article at the point that we spoke. No.
Okay, well, it was probably shortly after that then. I came out with an article that the globalists had entered a new and more dangerous phase of the Great Reset, and I called it the kill phase. And this is where the vaccines, now fully implemented into the massive populations of the world, would start to take effect. People would start to die in greater numbers. People would start to get sick. They're launching a World War III in the Ukraine and Eastern Europe. That's where it's probably going to start, there in Taiwan, two massive conflagrations on a global scale, probably throw in something involving Iran and Israel, and then you have a third front and a true global world war. And that they would continue to also release bioweapons similar to COVID or worse. And so you've got a three-front war on humanity there with plagues, we'll call that, slash diseases, whether they're real or manufactured in a lab. You've got, world war, and then you've got the COVID vaccines still being pushed with continuous boosters. That is a trifecta there of death unleashed upon the world, which I don't believe is a coincidence at this point in history when you have people like Harari saying we just don't need the vast majority of the population because we can replace them with technology that's now available. Okay, call me a conspiracy theorist. Call me
I was going to say it no longer is a conspiracy.
Yes, call me. I am impervious now to any insults. The time is late. The hour is late. It's no time to pull punches because we're afraid of being called names. I'm just coming right out there with it these last 5 or 6 months and saying, you know what? This is what they've said. This is what they continue to say. And now we see war, pestilence, plagues, and toxic spike protein laced vaccines being shot directly into the arms of billions of people. To me, I'm sorry, that's just too big of a coincidence. I don't know what you how you feel about that, but I don't believe that there are coincidences that massive.
I agree with you 1,000%, Leo.
Well, I do too, Leo, of course.
Do you? Okay. Well, you know, that doesn't surprise me because I've read your book and I know how you feel about this globalist elite.
But it was hard to come to.
It is.
It's hard because of all of the, I think we've been pre-trained, all of us, to try and have to provide evidence and documentation to the nth degree sometimes in regards to whatever we write about, even when it's being pretty clearly alluded to by globalists and by these predators. And now we've found enough documentation that there's just no question about this anymore.
Right. And so in this interview with Chris Anderson, Harari really gives us a great window into his thinking. You know, he has in the past, but he continues to do so even more with each new interview. And in this one, he talks about how, remember, he is his specialty as a historian is the origins of man, where we came from. That was the book Sapiens. Then he came out with another book called Homo Deus, where he takes off his historian hat and he puts on his futurist hat, and he tries to pontificate for us on where he believes humanity is heading. He tells us first where we've come from, which is the whole, you know, evolutionary biology, survival of the fittest type stuff that you would expect. And then the second book, he comes out with Homo Deus, where he says, basically, this is where man is heading. And he believes that there's this super elite. Oh, and that's why I love this interview, because he expounds on that. In this interview with Chris Anderson, I don't know if he uses the word elite, I don't remember, but he describes what is obviously the elite. And it's these people with super brain power that are the ones who will be needed. He said most of the vast majority of the human population is no longer needed, but the ones that he sees as being needed are these ones who are 100% in tune with technology. They're willing to sort of give themselves over to this idea of transhumanism, where they become one with the technology, the artificial intelligence, the machine learning, the bioediting, you know, and all of the places that this technology will take us.
Yes.
We know where that's heading, right? They want everyone to have a bio pass, a health pass, whatever you want to call it, in order to travel.
Leo, let us pick this up after our break.
This is tremendous. Very, very good, Leo. Thank you.
So informative.
And we'll be back in a minute.
Right back.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
And we're back. Leo is really, our guest, Leo Homan, is giving us an amazing summary of his update on where the global predators, the globalists, are taking the world.
Since we're on the radio, it's Homan is spelled H-O-H-M-A-N-N. You can find him at leohoman.com. Leo, other connecting information before we forget for the audience, and then please continue with your latest findings on the global predators. By the way, we've not mentioned our book by name. Our book, which I wish we had had, I can't remember whether I was influenced by your book or not, but I'm going to check that out because I know I've seen your book and I've read some of this, some of the stuff about infiltration of Chinese communists, which is, again, ahead of its time. And that book is Stealth Invasion by Leo Homan. Anything about identifying you and getting in touch with you?
Yeah, people can find Stealth Invasion at Amazon. They can purchase a copy of it there. They can also find me on my website, which you named leohoman.com, and sign up for email alerts. I put out usually 1 to 3 articles a week. And then also I have a pretty active Telegram channel. If you are on Telegram, just search Leo Homan author/journalist, and you'll find me there. And I post throughout the week articles, not just for myself, but interesting articles that I find other people writing. I post there on Telegram.
And Stealth Invasion is not a book that gets out of date. It was published in 2017. It is definitely not a book that you will read and think it's outdated. You'll think, gee, why didn't I know this stuff until right now? Because it is just full of information about the various groups that constitute the global predators. And our book, Peter Breggin and Ginger Breggin, is COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. You can get our book on Amazon or the other stores. And you can also there get the book that's the talking book. What is that called, honey?
Audible.
The Audible. And also the one you read. What's that called?
That's the e-book or Kindle.
I'm not much in technology. And if you want to get our book at a somewhat of a reduction in the United States only, you can get it on our dedicated website for just the book, which is wearethepray.com. And let's just pick up again now with Leo Homan and the Global Predators. Your information on Yuval is really good. We didn't know that, and we're going to get that and use it in our writings. It sounds like it's the final confession almost.
That's one good way to look at it. Yes, Peter. And he has spoken in previous interviews about this quote unquote useless class of unemployable humans. He said that the problem isn't just that we have too many people on the planet. It's that we have too many useless people. And what to do with these useless people, he has recommended in previous interviews. When asked about that, he doesn't come out and say that we should eliminate them, although he does say that they're going to be replaced by machines. He does not, of course, come out and say that they need to be eliminated, because that would make him sound like the you know, the mass murderer that he probably is. But what he does say is that we have a problem. And in some ways, he's right, because of the technological advances. We just don't need all of these people working in factories or even working in the fields like we used to. We'll have robots. And even, by the way, in the military, a lot of people, a lot of young people who are, you know, not necessarily untalented, but they're just not focused. You know, they're not at a point in their life when they're 18, 17 or 18 years old, that they're focused enough that they know what the rest, what they want to do with the rest of their life. So what do? They sign up for the military. Well, even the military is moving quickly at breakneck speed towards robotic soldiers. Within the next 3 to 5 years, 7 at the most, we are going to see robots fighting much of the wars that are breaking out around the world. They've been working ceaselessly on this, not only in here in the U.S. with DARPA, but the Chinese are working on this. And so the human being will not be needed nearly as much. There'll always be a need for some, of course, but they won't be needed nearly as much in the factory, in the fields, or in the militaries. And so what do we do with the vast majority of humans? And he admits that it's even worse, he said, psychologically, it's more damaging to feel that you are not needed than to feel that you're being exploited. I thought that was an interesting comment that he made. The previous systems of like Marxism and fascism, they were exploiting people, but at least people had a job. At least people could go to work and feel like they had a purpose on a day in, day out basis. Well, this new advancement into the fourth industrial revolution, people won't have that. The story as of the future, he talks about, every generation has a story. And, you know, in Marxism had a story, liberalism, which is what we've been living through since the post-war era, always had a story. And of course, fascism has a story. Fascism is related more to the national supremacy. And, you know, liberalism is about people being free to pretty much do what they want. That's what we've been living under for the last 50, 60 years. And, you know, communism, of course, has a story that the proletariat, the working man, will rise up and throw off the chains of the oppressing bourgeoisie and upper classes. But in this new story, the current generation right now here on the earth, let's say it's people in their young people in their teens and 20s, high school and college age. What is the story that they're being told? Well, now, Harari says it's rather hopeless because they're being told that they won't be needed in the vast majority of these professions that were once looking to fill the ranks, whether it be in the factories, the fields, the militaries, and even many of the professional classes are now being, you don't need as many of them. And this is because of the evolution of technology. And so what to do with him? What to do with these people? The best he could come up with in previous interviews, he wasn't asked this in the current interview, but in previous interviews, he said that we need to keep, the best we can hope for is to keep these people pacified by drugs and entertainment. Think about that. That is the message of this monster, Yuval Noah Harari. The best purpose of him, of mankind, that he can think of in the coming years will be to keep them playing video games and smoking marijuana and maybe doing fentanyl. That's why you see the elites pushing this drug thing. They're pushing the metaverse, where people will live in a make-believe world because their actual world is so dim and dismal that they will try to escape it by going into the metaverse and this virtual reality type of lifestyle. This is what these transhumanist globalist predators have envisioned for the vast majority of humanity that they consider useless and no longer having a purpose in life. So those that they don't kill through the things that we mentioned earlier, you know, the shots, the wars, the plagues, this is the type of life that they have planned for them. It's really sad.
It's really vicious, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be this way, does it?
Absolutely not. And that's what I talk about later in the article, where I analyze what he says, you know, from a Christian worldview. And by the way, these transhumanist globalist predators, they don't believe that humans have a soul, and they don't believe that humans have a free will. Harari has said, you've probably seen the famous quote on YouTube where they show him saying, you know, this idea about free will, where you get to choose who you vote for, go into a supermarket and choose what you want to eat. He said, those days are over. And he, you know, sort of waves his hands and declaring those days are over, you know, just really emphatic about it. Have you seen that clip?
No, that is
Oh, gosh,
amazing.
You've got to pull that one up. Yeah. He really wears his opinions on his sleeve in that interview. But
these are vicious visions. These are really depressing. They're so beyond depressing. They are enough to completely demoralize our younger generations.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's why we're seeing such high rates of suicide post COVID, don't you?
Yes.
I think it's certainly a contributor.
Charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to give a little historical, very briefly, on some of this, because it's hard for people to believe that bizarre concepts like this are actually.
Yeah, like I said, if this was just some, you know, random professor sitting somewhere, you know, out of his mind, we could dismiss it. But we cannot dismiss it when we're talking about the chief advisor to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum.
Definitely. In 1920, before Hitler came to power, two very well-known intellectuals, Hoche, H-O-C-H-E, who was a psychiatrist, and a lawyer named Binding, B-I-N-D-I-N-G, wrote a book called essentially Life Not Worth Living. And in it, and this is before Hitler came into power, he was just starting to really make a ruckus. They proposed that there were many, many lives that would be better off for the society and for the individual. They always make it a wonderful thing to die. These lives not worth living, and useless eaters was another concept. It also relates to progressivism or communism, or let's say collectivism, because when you have a collectivist orientation, you're supporting a lot of people, and that then gives you the power to not support those people anymore, but to get rid of them as too much of a burden to the society, which is one of the very important but often unspoken themes that these people believe in. That book led to PhD dissertations in Germany and led to the organization of psychiatry out of Berlin, the professors in Berlin, to systematically organizing the murder of all the mental patients under their control in Germany, and then bringing in patients to murder. It's interesting, killing their clients. It's really quite amazing. And they developed the machinery that became the Holocaust. I've written about that extensively. I have a paper on it that I gave in Germany that's on our website. I think it's called The Murder of Mental Patients. Maybe the psychiatric Holocaust, you should get there with those. Ginger, anything you want to add to this, or we go back to Leo, because he's got a lot to teach us?
No, I want to hear more from Leo.
Leo, I'm just writing down the names of those. That's very interesting stuff right there, Dr. Bregan.
I'll send you the link to our article on the psychiatric Holocaust.
Great. So just to double back and review for a second, Harari, who doesn't believe we have souls or free will and believes it's, quote, much worse psychologically to feel you are useless than to feel you are exploited, unquote. He admits we're heading into a dangerous period in history. Klaus Schwab, by the way, has said the same thing at the World Economic Forum Summit at the end of May this year in Davos. Schwab said that we're going into a period now where we're going to have an angrier world, an angrier global population. Of course, they know this to be true because it's their policies that are making people angry. Yes. You know, this idea that you need a health pass to show your digital papers in order to move about in society and exercise your freedom of movement. You know, the idea that you shouldn't be able to eat meat except for a, quote, rare treat, as the World Economic Forum says. The idea that you'll own nothing and learn to like it. You'll own nothing, you'll have no privacy, and you'll learn to like it. That was a video that the World Economic Forum put out around the first of the year. The idea that, you know, it's evil to drive a gas-fueled vehicle, that we must all go to electric cars and electric vehicles that are pretty much unaffordable. And now they're telling us we can't recharge those cars because they're too much of a drain on the electric grid. Isn't that the ultimate hypocrisy and irony?
Give us a lot of money and then let it sit in your garage for its lifetime.
Right. You're going to spend $70,000 on a new electric car because you think you're doing the right thing to, quote, save the planet. And then they tell you, oh, by the way, don't charge that car this week because it's too much of a strain during these peak summer hours on the electric grid. So
tell people a little more specifically, because that's not Leo's imagination. That's going on in California right now. So maybe address that, make it a little more concrete, because it is.
California passed a law a couple of weeks ago that by 2030, it will be illegal to sell any more gas-fueled vehicles. All vehicles sold at that point must be electric in nature. And then 2 days literally after they passed that law, they came out and said, oh, you folks with electric vehicles, please don't charge them this week or charge them very little if you do, because it's too much of a strain on our electric grid.
Unbelievable.
And remember, please don't become, or you go to jail within short time.
Exactly.
Please it never always, less with the progressives or the globalists.
100% true. Right.
Right. All right.
Oh, and there was another thing we can talk about when we come back that happened in Colorado this week with the technocrats interfering on people's smart thermostats through their
smart meters.
Yes.
Let's get to that as soon as we get back. We're taking a break.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfolger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Folger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
And we're back. Welcome to our guest again, Leo Homan. And we're having a fascinating conversation about globalism and what it's going to bring to our lives.
Leo, you have a tremendous grasp of this, and it's not surprising that you were studying it before we ever thought about it, directly at least. How far back does your work go on globalism?
About 6 or 7 years, yeah. I mean, I was writing for WND. I started writing for WND in April of 2014, World Net Daily. I thought about this for really years, even before that, but I was just working at mainstream newspapers and wasn't really able to write about it. But I got canceled, Dr. Bregan, from the mainstream newspaper industry. And it turned out to be a God thing, the best thing that ever happened to me, where the mainstream newspaper industry that in which I had worked for 29 years basically booted me out because I wanted to investigate some things that they didn't want investigated. And so then I landed at World Net Daily and started writing about immigration, education, and just started connecting more of the dots, essentially, on how these globalists have infiltrated pretty much every institution. The one thing I was not aware of, and this is where you probably had more knowledge ahead of when I had it, I did not know how thoroughly infiltrated the medical establishment was with these globalist ideas. I think that started with Obamacare. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure it goes even beyond that. But the consolidation of the medical industry, which allowed the globalists to control it much more tightly, put it on a tighter leash, so to speak, put your local doctors and hospitals on a tighter leash, I think that went on steroids, even though I'm sure there were some attempts at it. It really got jump-started with Obamacare. Am I correct?
I think we see a major upclip in it then. But interestingly enough, I think a lot of it goes back to psychiatry, and I've never really thought of it this way. Until this moment, in a sense, and Ginger has had a lot to say to me about this over the years. But you go back to 1953 when the antipsychotic drugs are discovered, because when they give these, they were derivatives of antihistamines that made people kind of numb, and they gave them to a whole ward of patients, and the nurses went, hurrah, we can take care of everybody and control everything, and everybody lines up and we don't have problems on the ward anymore.
Sure.
And that developed into a very tight relationship between psychiatry and the drug companies, knowingly distributing massive amounts of neurotoxins, which they quickly figured out mimicked an epidemic that coincided with the flu and the in World War One, and produced all kinds of neurological disabilities called lethargic encephalitis. So way back then, we have doctors talking about, we've got this neurotoxin that mimics lethargic encephalitis. We can produce an entire epidemic of this in our state hospitals. What's your best drug we want to distribute? What's your most toxic one of them? Which was Haldol at the time, and still is given to patients. But they said, well, Haldol is making the monkeys the most neurologically impaired. So I think psychiatry more and more, and Ginger's always been saying this to me, was like the wedge. And then you look at it being the wedge into the Holocaust.
The tool of control.
The tool of control and murder and euthanasia and sterilization. Right. Sterilization of course, comes out much earlier in the United States and before Hitler. We were sterilizing patients. We sent people over to Germany from our psychiatric hospital sterilization programs to tell Hitler he certainly could get away with it because they were getting away with it in the U.S.
This is exactly. Who thinks about the masses. Those who think about the masses are the elites who look at the world. They think of us as hives or ants. They don't think of us as having souls. And they want the tools to control what they conceive of as the masses. And psychiatry is the tip of the spear on the how to control groups of people, large numbers, populations of people, the masses. And that's where individuals are dehumanized and considered just clusters of insects or something that need yes. management. And now they're breaking out the raid.
right.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. Mass applications of raid.
Right.
But so it goes way back, like you're saying, really to the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I was just thinking in a little bit different angle, I guess, to the same story.
Oh yeah,
when I mentioned Obamacare, what I was thinking of was that at that point is when the medical industry seemed to really start consolidating. And you have so many fewer independent doctors as a result of this consolidation.
Absolutely.
And so now you have all of these huge healthcare companies running these networks of hospitals and clinics, and all of the doctors no longer are individual professionals. They're simply employees who are able to be, coerced and ordered around just like a field hand in many ways. Yep. And if they don't obey the hospital administrator's orders, they are fired or they can have their medical license threatened. And now we have, oh my goodness, collusion going on between these mega health conglomerates and the governments. And we were talking about California before the break and how they enacted this crazy law banning the gas-fueled vehicles starting in 2030. They're phasing them out and mandating electric cars. Well, they also passed a law. I don't know if this one's been signed yet by Newsom, but I'm sure he will, where it will make it illegal, essentially, for any doctor to prescribe any medicine or give any medical advice that goes against what they call the standard, the standards of care or whatever, the protocols put in place that all of the medical health establishment is following. And where do those come from? The World Health Organization and the CDC and the NIH. And so if you're a doctor in California, assuming this law goes into effect, you will no longer have medical independence. You will no longer be able to fulfill your Hippocratic oath by giving your professional opinion on whether, say, someone should get a vaccine or not. If the standard of care says that person should get a vaccine, whether it's a pregnant woman, a cancer patient, what a child, whatever, you've got to tell that person that they need to get this vaccine. If you don't, you will lose your medical license to practice.
You know, in 20 years, I think that we aren't going to have many physicians anymore. We're going to have technicians who do any hands-on examinations, and there's going to be artificial intelligence that
yes.
ends up taking input of lab work and symptoms and any exams that are done by technicians, and then puts it all together and spits out a diagnosis and a treatment plan. I'm so afraid that's where we're headed, and we're going to totally lose the humanity of medical art and science.
Bingo. What you just described there, Ginger, is the exact scenario that Yuval Noah Harari is talking about in this article I wrote that we were discussing, that we will no longer have a need for the vast majority of humans. And he's not just talking about factory workers here, even doctors. There's no need to train these doctors for 8 or 10 years through medical school and internships and all of this stuff that they go through. If all they're going to do is ask you what your symptoms are, punch in your symptoms, punch in your vitals, your age, your weight, whether you're a smoker or not, this, that, and the other. And then the computer with its algorithm spits out a formula for how to treat the patient. This is the way medicine is largely practiced today. I've experienced it in my own life. You know, they wanted to put me on a statin a few years, about 2 or 3 years ago. They punched in my size, my weight, whether or not I was, they said, okay, non-smoker, doesn't drink much. And then they asked me about my background history. Had I ever had a relative die of a heart attack or, you know, had a history of high cholesterol? And it was from that information, they diagnosed me as chronic high cholesterol in need of a high dose statin. I said, sorry, but I'm not going to take your statin. Thanks, but no thanks, because I had researched statins before that office visit. Thank you very much, doctor, but I don't need your statin. I don't want your statin. I think it'll cause more harm than good. And that was 3 years ago. I'm still alive. I haven't had a massive stroke or heart attack like they tried to scare me into thinking I would. See, that's what they do. They try to scare you into taking their drugs, which may or may not be actually needed. In my case, I didn't feel like it was, and so I declined. But this is the way medicine is going to be practiced. You will not need as many doctors because, like you said, you won't need as many full-fledged trained doctors, at least. Like you said, anybody pretty much who's of average intelligence, maybe with a bachelor's degree, can punch those numbers in. You don't even need a bachelor's degree for that. Mm-hmm. To basically take symptoms from someone, punch in the vitals, and then let the computer prescribe the treatment.
Yes. You know, Leo, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'd love to hear from you some of your perspective on the better way that we as thinking adults can begin to approach this, to turn aside this wave of globalism and really create a more humane future.
Yeah, I really think, Ginger, that it's up to us whether or not this drive for global totalitarianism succeeds. It's a much bigger problem than just the government and our government leaders. Because like we've discussed here, every major profession, every major institution in America and in the world has been infiltrated. The medical establishment, the corporate world, the corporate boardrooms, the law enforcement, everything has been infiltrated at this point. The education system, the media environment. They're all run by globalists at the top, even if every person that works in these institutions is not that way of thinking. So really, until people wake up to who the enemy really is, it's hard to tell them how to fight against it because the enemy is everywhere. I know that sounds paranoid, but if you're aware of it, see, then you're able to resist it. And that office visit that I had a couple years ago is a classic example of it. If I was not aware that doctors are pushing drugs, not based on the individual needs of their patients, but based on these computer algorithms that spit out standards of care, quote unquote, then I would not have known to resist and push back against that, quote, recommendation. And it's the same thing in your children's school. If you don't know what's going on in those schools, what's being taught, and you're just living in la-la land, you won't know what questions to ask when you go talk to your student, your child's teacher or principal, and you won't know what to push back against. But once you know the enemy, now you're in a position to resist at the various pressure points in our lives, in our daily lives, where this globalism comes to meet us and comes to touch our lives. That is at the point where I'm not saying we have to withdraw from all of society and live like the Amish, but I am saying that we have to be educated and prepared to reject the tools, the coercions, the methodologies of these globalist predators when they meet our lives.
Wow. Peter?
Well, it dovetails with everything we've been talking about, Leo, including things like going to cash so we get more free of the globalists.
Yes, that's another great example, right?
Buying local from your local farmers, getting to know your local farmers.
Exactly.
Getting to know your local government representatives and your sheriff and so forth.
Absolutely. All wonderful examples of what we should be doing.
And just really becoming active within your own communities, making friends with your neighbors and people who share your perspectives in your own community. I think the other thing is there is a massive need for personally educating yourself all the time. You're not done with learning when you graduate from college or high school. There's as an aware citizen in a modern world, we have to continue to educate ourselves for the rest of our lives. And that may sound exhausting, but it can also be really exhilarating. So I think it's important to get oneself trained up on reading comfortably and thinking and so forth, and learning everything they can about how to learn and analyze so that it's not a daunting experience.
There are now evolving networks of independent physicians. I wish I had the link here. Remind me, Ginger, we'll make a note here and we can talk about it on the next show. But to find independent physicians and patronize them, there's some very good developing programs around the country. So that's another important aspect that we can get into. We are at the end of the show with Leo Holman, H-O-H-M-A-N-N, and get him at leoholman.com. And his book, Stealth Invasion, is one of the key books in understanding the invasiveness of globalism into our world, one of the seminal books. Leo, thank you for doing this work, and thank you for being on America Out Loud with Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan.
I'm honored to have been on the show, and I enjoyed it immensely. Thank you so much, Dr. Bregan and Ginger.
Thank you, Leo.